Good evening, and welcome to the local news. Today is Wednesday, January 28th, and I'm Nat Cardos, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, KMUD spoke with Senator McGuire about the California Senate passing the No Kings Act. Eureka Police Department announces the retirement of K-9 Bodhi. And the California Department of Public Health lifts warning about consuming internal organs of sport-harvested Dungeness crab. So stay tuned. Those stories and more, coming up.
Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkyon, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilkut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection these tribes have to this region.
On Tuesday, January 27th, California passed Senate Bill 747, or the No Kings Act, on a 30-10 party-line vote. It will now go to the State Assembly before being put on the governor's desk. KMUD's Gabriel Zucker spoke with California Senator Mike McGuire about the importance of this bill.
The No Kings Act is pretty damn simple. It allows Californians their day in court, and their constitutional rights are violated by ICE or a federal agent. It aligns existing state liability law with local and state police and brings in federal law enforcement agencies and agents when there are violations of an individual's constitutional rights. So, for example, if there's a violation in the First Amendment, free speech, the Fourth Amendment, illegal search and seizure, and the Fifth Amendment, unconstitutional racial profiling. And here's what I'll say, like many parents across this country, I watched in disbelief last week as photos emerged of ICE agents kidnapping a five-year-old child. His name was Liam Cornejo Ramos, the same age as my son, Connor. And they kidnapped him not because he had done anything wrong, but because they wanted to use him as bait. Wanted to use him as bait. They took Liam, who was terrified and confused, still wearing his Spider-Man backpack from school, and used him to lure his dad out of the house and arrest him. And fast forward at millions, we watched with horror this weekend as ICE agents murdered Alex Pretty in Minneapolis. Just under 3 weeks ago, we watched as Renee Good was murdered by Trump's secret police. And what we know, there are kids across America who are afraid to go to school. Their parents are no longer going to work because they're afraid that they're going to be deported and separated from their kids. Kids are no longer going to their doctors because their parents are afraid that they'll be separated. And it's not because they are criminals, because they're being targeted based on the color of their skin. This is not the America that we have all fought so hard for. This is the America that we have to fight against. We have to call this out. This is fascism and state-sponsored violence, plain and simple. And the most tragic fact of this fascist operation that's happening with ICE, it's not the first time ICE agents have murdered an innocent person. And our president, Donald Trump, is showing no remorse, and his administration won't ensure that this is going to be the last murder by agents. So California is taking the power back. We are showing the rest of this country that we can't be silent. If we are silent, we are complicit. It is immoral to be silent at this time in America's history. We're not going to be intimidated. We are better than this, and together, we're going to prove it.
McGuire explained the steps that still need to be taken to pass the bill and make it law, reiterating the importance of citizens' First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments.
So it passed overwhelmingly on a party-line vote today. Every Democrat in the California State Senate supported it. Every Republican in the California State Senate opposed the bill. The bill is now heading to the California State Assembly. We hope and fully expect that it's going to get a positive vote in the California State Assembly. It will then head to the governor's desk in the next couple of weeks. I got to tell you right now, it is a 5-alarm fire across this country. And ISIS leaders and the agents who are committing crimes and violating constitutional rights must be held accountable. That's what America is all about. No one is above the law. I firmly believe that Kristi Noem must be impeached. The head of the Border Patrol who is overseeing these jackboot ICE operations, Greg Bovino, he must be fired and held to account. We have to stop ICE from entering homes without judicial warrants. We have to stop ICE agents targeting American citizens based on their skin color alone. And I firmly believe Congress has to hold ICE agents accountable for violating constitutional rights. We have to implement a use of force policy with teeth, mandate the use of body-worn cameras, and we have to aggressively investigate and prosecute every ICE agent who has violated their oath of office and broken the law. And guess what? That's what we do here in California. And that's what Congress has to do now across this nation. Senate Bill 747, the No Kings Act, is simple. It gives Californians who have had their constitutional rights violated their day in court. No one is above the law. We have to hold ICE agents responsible for violating the First Amendment, free speech, for violating the Fourth Amendment, unlawful search and seizures, and violating the Fifth Amendment, which is basing action, law enforcement action, on an individual's skin color alone. It's illegal, it's unconstitutional, and it has to stop.
This bill will hold ICE and other federal officers accountable for actions taken that violate the constitutional rights of Californians. This means a plaintiff will have a platform to sue the offending officer for monetary damages if they have violated the plaintiff's constitutional rights. This is Gabriel Zucker with KMUD.
Yesterday, the Eureka Police Department announced the retirement of K-9 Bodhi following 5 years of service. Gabriel Zucker reports.
The Eureka Police Department proudly announced that K-9 Bodhi was retiring. He had served in the Drug Task Force and alongside his partner, Sergeant Nance, and will now enjoy retirement as a full-time companion. KMUD talked with the Public Information Officer for EPD, Laura Montagna, about his contributions to the force.
This is Laura Montagna from the Eureka Police Department. The Eureka Police Department proudly announces retirement of K-9 Bodhi, a highly accomplished narcotics and firearms detection K-9 following more than 5 years of dedicated service to the community. K-9 Bodhi began his law enforcement career on June 22, 2020, and officially retired on January 1, 2026. Throughout his career, Bodhi served alongside Sergeant Nance, forming a close and highly effective K-9 team. Their partnership included assignments with the Drug Task Force, as well as deployments with the Eureka Police Department. K-9 Bodhi was trained and certified in narcotics and firearms detection, including the detection of live and spent ammunition. Since being deployed with the Eureka Police Department, Bodhi completed over 100 deployments, assisting officers in locating illegal drugs and firearms and supporting countless investigations. While assigned to the Drug Task Force, K-9 Bodhi played a significant role in major narcotics enforcement efforts. Working with Sergeant Nance, Bodhi assisted in the seizure of 64 pounds of methamphetamine, 19 pounds of heroin, 45 pounds of additional narcotics, 144 grams of psilocybin mushrooms, 58 grams of fentanyl, 32 grams of cocaine, 42 grams of DMT, and 25 grams of LSD. These seizures represent a substantial impact on drug trafficking in the region and reflect the critical role K-9 Bodhi played in protecting public safety. K-9 Bodhi's contributions to the Eureka Police Department and the community cannot be overstated, said Chief Brian Stevens. His work with Sergeant Nance and our regional partners significantly enhanced our ability to disrupt drug distribution and remove illegal firearms from our streets. We are grateful for his years of loyal service. Canine Bodie will now enjoy a well-earned retirement, transitioning from law enforcement partner to full-time companion. The Eureka Police Department extends its sincerest thanks to Canine Bodie and Sergeant Nance for their outstanding service and dedication.
This is Gabriel Zucker with KMUD News.
Earlier this month, in a story previously covered here on KMUD, the recreational crab season was postponed by 2 months due to high concentrations of domoic acid found in testing of crabs done by the California Department of Public Health, CDPH. Earlier this month, recreational crab fisheries were opened back up with warnings. Recreational crabbing could take place, however, with the health advisory to not eat crab viscera and to clean crabs prior to cooking. As of today, that health advisory has been lifted after new laboratory analysis has shown domoic acid levels have declined to low or undetectable levels. KMUD News spoke with Christy Juhas, a senior environmental scientist specialist with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife Marine Region, for more information on how we got here.
So we start to test crab in this preseason period, typically around October, but as early as late September. We did collect crab from the areas off of northern Humboldt County, Trinidad, back in late September, and noticed that they were having some really high domoic acid concentrations, exceeding the federal action level for domoic acid at this time period, so much so that it did cause a delay. And not only in those locations and elsewhere in the state, I believe it also was at down in Point Arena area near Manchester Beach and up north in Crescent City as well, off of the Klamath and George Reef locations. And I think one more location off of Humboldt in the northern sort of Eureka, Samoa Beach area. We were just seeing, you know, exceedances reached in domoic acid. It resulted in delaying the recreational fishing season for the entire sort of northern coast north of the Sonoma and Mendocino County line. We were finally able to open up portions of that fishery back in from November 1st. We were delaying the area up until December 12th. And Mendocino was able to open, and then Crescent City area was able to open. And then by December 30th, we were able to also sort of open up the remaining Humboldt County area off of Eureka and Trinidad. So again, yeah, resulted in about 2 months long delay in some areas for the recreational fishing season due to domoic. But then this also created problems leading up to the commercial Dungeness crab season opener that was delayed for issues related to entanglement risk as well as quality testing. We just couldn't get the quality tests done for the season based on the domoic results. And so we ended up having to additionally delay up until January 30th for the Trinidad, Eureka area of the commercial fishery.
The commercial crab season has been pushed back not only due to domoic acid risks, but also due to entanglement risks. Originally pushed back to January 15th across Northern California, it has now been pushed further back to January 30th with a 15% gear reduction. Juhas elaborates more on what this entanglement risk means.
So the department also looks at these triggers for entanglement risk, either marine. So we're looking at the protected species, you know, potential for entanglement risk between blue whales, humpback whales, and leatherback sea turtles. Leatherback sea turtles is mostly a problem in south of Point Arena, down the southern end of the fishery. We look at these numbers by ramp zone prior to the season. We also look at entanglement numbers in the calendar year and during a fishing season, and that helps the director make risk assessment determinations on whether or not to take management action. And the management actions that can be taken is delaying the season opener, closing the season early, reducing the gear, trap gear number in the fishing fleet, and also depth restrictions, kind of ensuring that gear isn't put out in deeper waters.
Currently, there are no warnings for domoic acid in Dungeness crab viscera from the area, and there have been no reported illnesses associated with it. More information about both recreational and commercial crab season can be found at wildlife.ca.gov/crab. In state news, more than 3,000 people, including high-ranking political leaders, attended Congressman Doug LaMalfa's memorial service at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico last Saturday. Last Saturday, January 24th, thousands of people arrived at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico to honor Congressman Doug LaMalfa at his memorial service. The congressman served California's 1st District and recently passed away on January 6th of this year. The service was attended by some of the highest-ranking officials in the country and state, including Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, California Governor Gavin Newsom, and Democrat U.S. Senator Adam Schiff.
We left Washington this morning about 5 a.m. and it was like 12 degrees, and with the wind chill, it was well below zero. At least it felt like that to me, a Louisiana kid. But there's a polar vortex you may be aware of going through the country right now, and about half the country is shut down. Most of our colleagues are grounded. But in spite of that, because it's Doug, I had to arrange to get Air Force Two to bring a plane full of members and staff out here to be a part of this. I mean, there's very few people who could muster that kind of crowd under these conditions, okay? But Doug did. The vice president gave us the plane. I had another one arranged, but we had a mechanical error. So this went all the way to the top, my friends, because it's Doug.
That was Johnson, who was one of the first to speak at the public service. Other notable speakers included former Republican Speaker Kevin McCarthy, California State Assemblyman for District 3, James Gallagher, and LaMalfa's sixth grade teacher, Ray Seahorn. During the service, Gallagher noted LaMalfa's often casual attire and contrast to typical politician looks.
And I think at the time you thought of politicians as these guys that are always in like khakis and a blue sport coat. It was kind of the uniform. But I'm standing here and in walks the candidate, Doug LaMalfa, wearing a t-shirt and jeans and some kind of denim jacket with Jill and the kids in tow. Their faces freshly painted from being at a fair somewhere. They had already been all over the North State, and now here they were in Yuba City. I remember thinking, this guy looks nothing like the politicians I've ever met. And that moment would set the tone for the Doug LaMalfa brand of politics. A brand of politics that would change my life, and a brand that I have been proud to ride for over 20 years. As a side note, I did eventually at some point get one of those sports jackets, you know, the ones with like the gold buttons on them. And every time I would wear that, Doug would give me a bad time. And he'd come up and say, man, you look like Judge Schmales.
Security was tight for the event, with multiple agencies patrolling outside, as well as members of SWAT on rooftops both inside and outside of the fairgrounds. Among the speakers was Mayor of Paradise, Steve Crowder, who spoke about working with LaMalfa after the 2018 campfire that devastated the town.
Doug showed up for this region through wildfires, dam crises, challenges, and uncertainty. And many of us saw this firsthand. He was the kind of leader who worked to help communities recover and rebuild, not just in words, but with action and persistence. And I truly believe that Paradise would not be as far along in our recovery effort without all of the help that he delivered to us. I want to make one thing very clear. Doug's work mattered, and Doug's presence mattered. California's first district did not just lose a representative. It lost a champion and a voice.
The service lasted for approximately 3 hours and ended with a tribute from LaMalfa's family, where LaMalfa's wife, Jill LaMalfa, spoke about legacy and the steps moving forward.
I don't want to be called a widow. It feels kind of like a spider or something. I don't know. It's just not something I want to be called. So I've decided this week I want to be called a legacy extender. Because Doug had a great legacy. But Doug didn't do that by himself. There was a whole lot of people behind him, in front of him, next to him. And we've all contributed to the legacy. And so we want to keep that going.
A special election to fill the seat left open by LaMalfa will be held on August 4th, with Republican Assemblymember Gallagher and Democratic educator Audrey Denny already announcing that they'd be running for the position. In national news, lawmakers call for firing of Homeland Security Secretary Noem threaten her department's budget, KPFA's Christopher Martinez reports.
The Trump administration's wave of violent immigration enforcement actions is triggering calls for change from Minneapolis to Congress to the United Nations. Democrat Chuck Schumer is the Senate minority leader.
What ICE and CBP are doing in Minneapolis and other cities around the country is not border security and certainly not law and order. What ICE is doing is lawless disorder. What ICE is doing is state-sanctioned thuggery, and it must be stopped. ICE must leave Minnesota today, not tomorrow, not next week, but today.
Schumer was speaking on the Senate floor days after the fatal shootings of Alex Pretty and Renee Good in Minneapolis. Republican Senate leader John Thune takes a different lesson from recent events.
I also hope that recent tragedies have inspired some soul-searching among those who have participated in or encouraged abuse toward ICE officers and other law enforcement officers. is deeply disturbing that we have had public officials essentially encouraging harassment of officers simply trying to do their duty.
Among other things, recent ICE actions have raised calls for the removal of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Dozens of Democrats have signed on to a call for her impeachment. Schumer stopped short of calling for impeachment, but he does want her out now.
Kristi Noem is a liar. She's vicious. She's also incompetent. Donald Trump must fire her at once before another American is killed under her watch.
President Donald Trump has said she's not going to resign. But now Schumer is raising the ante. He says the public cannot trust the administration, so it's up to Congress to fix things, using pending budget bills as leverage. There are six funding bills ready to go in the Senate, including one that funds Homeland Security.
To finish the appropriations process, Leader Thune should split the funding bills and move forward with the five that already have broad support from both parties.
And with that idea comes a bit of a threat.
But if Leader Thune insists on holding a vote on DHS legislation that he knows will not pass, then he will guarantee yet another unnecessary government shutdown this Friday, and the shutdown will be on Leader Thune's shoulders.
As of now, it looks like Thune has agreed to split the bills and hold a separate vote on Homeland Security funding. Of course, that does not get to the heart of the problem. Immigration enforcement actions have spurred concerns from as far as Italy, where there are concerns about the role of ICE security at the Winter Olympics. United Nations-appointed human rights experts have sounded the alarm over apparent violations of the rights of children in U.S. immigration procedures. And although the Trump administration seems to be ready to reduce the number of federal agents in Minneapolis, that's not enough for critics. In an interview on CNN News Central Monday, Democratic Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear also weighed in.
You know, law enforcement is supposed to protect us, and this group is doing the exact opposite. They're putting us in harm's way.
He was asked what he would do if ICE came next to his state. He did not hesitate.
Well, the first thing we have to do is demand that they pull these officers out of all of our cities and that they fully retrain every single one of them. They are operating with aggressive tactics that are not appropriate for law enforcement. They are not following our Constitution and giving people their rights.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.
In National Native News, Antonia Gonzalez reads today's headlines.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. From a Wordle game to a new language immersion program, a wave of efforts to revitalize the Inupiaq language has been sweeping across northern Alaska. Last month, an artist received an award to create a native language workbook for kids. Ayolna Niden with the Alaska Desk has more.
Elena Bengston has loved making art since she was a child. Now that she has a child of her own, she wants to use her art to help him learn the Inupiaq language. Bengston is an Utqiagvik artist who recently received the Rasmussen Award to create a workbook that will do just that. She will spend a year designing and illustrating a primer for children that teaches the Inupiaq alphabet and numbers. Bengston says her four-year-old son, Kahaliyauk, was her inspiration for the project.
It all kind of started with creating for him and being able to use those resources.
Bengston says she's still on her own language learning journey. She practices speaking with elders and uses dictionaries in the Rosetta Stone app. But Bengston says children learn differently than adults, and she wanted to create educational materials that cater to the youngest learners.
You start kindergarten, you have the whole workbook, you're learning the alphabet, the numbers, the colors, and we have all that in English, but I'm like, what if we had that in Inupiaq?
Bengston says some resources for learning Inupiaq are available through the North Sloboro School District, but she says regular parents might not have access to them.
It's really born out of necessity. I'm sure there are resources out there, but they're not something you can just go pick up at the store or buy online.
Bengston's project is just one example of the language revitalization efforts in the region. 2 years ago, the school district restarted its Inupiaq immersion program. And a few years before that, Alaska Native linguists created a digital Inupiaq dictionary. And when the popular puzzle game Wordle took off across the country, local linguists and enthusiasts created an Inupiaq version.
We've been making big strides recently. You know, with the history of it, it's definitely a dying language, but I think it's important we keep it alive.
Bengston says everyone can do their part to preserve the language, and the workbook is just one step for her. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naiden.
A former Navajo Nation poet laureate has been named by Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs as the state's second ever state poet. KJZZ's Gabriel Pietrazio has more.
Laura Tohi has dedicated her life to indigenous literature, but doesn't want that identity to dominate her tenure.
I don't want people to think that, you know, I'm just, again, shifting from Navajo Nation to Arizona as a Navajo poet.
And part of her pledge is to help bring poetry to rural communities. While most living on the Navajo Nation have no choice but to haul essentials like water, coal, and wood from far away, for Tohi growing up, it was books.
I did.
Born in Fort Defiance, Arizona, Tohi remembers taking long road trips with her mother to the closest library across state lines in New Mexico.
We did make it to Gallup, and I got a library card. She wanted to make sure I had access.
For National Native News, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
The U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs is holding a hearing Wednesday in Washington, D.C., focusing on Native children. The hearing will examine the draft Native Children's Commission Implementation Act, which focuses on improving justice and safety outcomes for Native children. It includes tribal-federal coordination on public safety, juvenile justice, and victim services. The hearing will be streamed on the committee's website. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Larry Lashley, and thanks to our reporters, Gabriel Zucker, Christopher Martinez, and Antonia Gonzalez. KMUD News is online, and you can find us on KMUD.org and now streaming on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commutes. You can also follow us on social media. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605. Or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio, Inc. is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Reporting for KMud, I'm Nat Cardos.